to introduce you to this morning. Just briefly, let me tell you, Radio Rehab is a new concept brought to the tri-state by The Pump, WEOA, 1400 AM. We're trying to keep the faces of addiction and recovery and treatment alive in our community so people can meet people that have had all kinds of issues around drugs and alcohol, pills, pot, you name it, to hear about their journeys and their hope. Today, we have a guest from the Warm Treatment Program in Henderson, Kentucky, and she is going to tell us about her treatment program. She called in last week while we were talking to Robert, and she was so excited about her recovery. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I do want to encourage you to call in if you want to ask her questions. She's going to be brutally frank and honest about who she is and what has happened to her in her path of addiction and treatment and recovery. If you want to ask her questions or ask me questions, call us at 424-1400, and we will answer your questions. This is Rosalind. Rosalind's from Louisville, Kentucky, and she's going to tell us her story. Thanks for coming, Rosalind.
You're welcome, Lisa. It's an honor to be here. And, whenever I called last Saturday and heard Robert's story, you know, I just got so encouraged, and he gave me so much hope. And I'm a person, and I've been in treatment for 18 months, and you know, it took me a really long time to realize that I had a problem. And you know, it started with my childhood, and you know, I had a stepdad that, you know, had alcoholism really bad, and there was a lot of alcohol in the home, and there was a lot of abuse going on, and just real dysfunctional things that happened to me. But you know, I did not realize that I had, you know, this disease called alcoholism. You know, it was a really bad sickness that stayed up, you know, in me for a long time. And, you know, I stayed really ill. You know, there was a lot of germs. And, you know, I realized today that I am an alcoholic, and that I do suffer from this alcoholism that centers, you know, in my mind and my body. And treatment has helped me a whole lot. You know, it has taught me to learn about this disease, you know, to realize that I cannot, you know, run on self-will. You know, I ran on self-will for a long time, Lisa. You know, I wanted to have things my way and wanted to do things I wanted to do. And you know, seeing my children have to go to school, and you know, there was times I didn't do their hair, and one time my daughter, you know, she missed so much school, and you know, those child protective service, you know, they came to my door and they knocked on my door, and they wanted to know, you know, what was wrong, you know, why had my daughter missed so many days in school. And you know, I simply had to let them know that I had an addiction problem that was just taking over everything. You know, I could not pay my bills, you know, I was unmanageable, and you know, it was just really, really sad. And I had to cry out and ask for help. And these people, you know, they heard me cry out, and you know, I went and got an assessment, you know, for drug abuse. And I told them that.
What's an assessment?
Well, they wanted to evaluate me to see, you know, what was really going on and why, you know, my child had missed all these days in school, and you know, why I was unmanageable, and you know, I just couldn't get up, I couldn't work, I couldn't keep a job, I couldn't pay my bills, and you know, my lights got cut off one time, my water got cut off. You know, this disease was just ripping me apart.
Did you know something was wrong?
I didn't really know. It's really like it had me so bad that I really didn't care.
How did that happen to a beautiful girl like you?
It just took me some places, Lisa, that I didn't think I'd ever be. You know,
What was your drug of choice? How did this...
Well, it started out with alcohol.
Alcohol was
I was 14 years old, and I took my first drink, and I started smoking marijuana, and I started feeling real good. In junior high, I started at a young age smoking marijuana, and it just took me some places, you know, that elusive feeling, and, you know, that sensation of, you know, and it just pumped me up for real. It made me feel like I was on top of the world, that, you know, you couldn't tell me anything. My teachers tried to explain to me and try to talk to me, and coming in the classroom, and they're like, Rosalind, you know, you're going to have to stop doing what you're doing. You're going to regret it in your future. And I still did not listen to what they were trying to tell me. You know, I had great support in school and teachers that loved me, and you know, they cared about me, and I continued to do the same thing for so many years over and over and over again. Wow. And when these people came to my house, I cried out for help, and I told them, I said, I have a drug addiction problem. You know, I was really getting honest and probably not even knowing it, because we don't get honest.
So you know, went from alcohol to Pot, and then what?
I was 18 years old, and I met my oldest child's dad, and we started in a club. He worked in a club. They owned the club, actually, and we lived in the club. So I started using this chemical, and immediately I got hooked. And
what was it?
It was crack cocaine. And immediately I got hooked on this drug, and I would not go home, and my mother would be so worried about me because I'm the baby of six siblings, and she would be so upset and so worried and scared for my life, and you know, I wouldn't come home days and weeks at a time, you know, and then I got pregnant, and that was really sad, and I tend to stop for a little while because I went to college.
Did you stop when you were pregnant?
Yes, I stopped maybe for about 6 months. And then I went to college, but right before I was about to have this child, I picked it back up. I had a relapse, and that was not good. And she's okay today. She's Ariana. She's 18. She's a beautiful girl. She does hair. She's in school, and she'll be graduating this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she'll be graduating, and she's really doing really good. And the thing that I worry about, you know, the most is my daughter that's 16. You know, my addiction and alcoholism caused me to lose her. And she's in foster care, and she's just, you know, wanting me to come back and be a better person. I've learned a whole lot being in treatment these 18 months.
So, Rosalyn, in looking back, do you think that this foster care experience and the Child Protective Services coming in, checking out your parenting, was the turning point for you?
Yes, it definitely was. Something had to get my attention, and that got my attention.
Because your family had been begging you to stop. Your kids were begging you to stop.
Begging and pleading me to stop. They wanted me to stop bad. And it was a lot of times that I wouldn't. It didn't really bother me. You know, I kept doing what I was doing regardless. That's how bad the disease had me. You know, sometimes I just didn't want to stop. You know, I just waddled in it at times.
You probably didn't know you could stop.
I couldn't
stop. Loss of control, yeah.
Because, you know, the mental obsession.
Right,
and the operative force, you know, it was just so strong. I remember taking my child with me to purchase, and her screaming and hollering really loud, and she had to call my mom, and, you know, my mom had to come and get her, you know, out of the house because I had left her. And, you know, it was really sad that after I came down and thought about it, you know, it was pitiful, you know, that I did that. But, you know, at least I just wasn't in my right mind at all. That's how strong the mental obsession and the operative force was within me. And then the phenomenon of craving, you know, all that just took me some places that I would have never thought I'd be. You know, it was just, it was really sad. But, you know, when I went and got help, that is what I needed, and I was real willing to get help this time. You know, I really wanted to do something different with my life. I just could not stay out there and just give up on myself like that.
The party was over.
The party was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I know today that I cannot drink. You know, I have an allergy in my body, and I know that I cannot drink alcohol because it will take me back out there. And, you know, the results are jails, institutions, and death leads. So, you know, people are dying out there today. And I know that. And I've been sober now for 18 months. And I've learned a whole lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome.
You.
So what do you say to mothers that have these little babies and teenagers depending on them 100% and they just... How do you get their attention?
What I would say is, you know, get help. You know, call, you know, drug agencies, your local, you know, call the Warm Center, you know.
Yeah,
you know, get help. I would advise or encourage any mother that is out there that has suffered, you know, from what I've suffered from and from this disease to please, you know, get some help before it's too late because it's never going to get any better. You know, it gets worse every time we think we can go back out there and use substances or use any type of form of alcohol knowing that we have this allergy in our body that sets off this mental obsession and the phenomenon of craving. You know, this is something that unexplainable. You know, we have no control over it at all, you know?
Well, that's an allergy. If you eat strawberries and you're allergic to strawberries, they make you sick every time you eat strawberries. So you're saying with alcohol or mood-altering chemicals, you're allergic to them? That's how you describe it?
We're allergic to them. And I just thank God again for treatment because had I not came in and learned about recovery dynamics and the physical aspects of alcoholism and the exact nature, you know, talking about the mental obsession, you know, and just having the resentments and things like that of that nature and being blocked off from God. You know, God could not get to me, but he did get to me being that I was sitting in that abandoned house with no lights and no water and no, you know, nothing. Wow. I was just sitting in there, just real, real pitiful. And I came to my senses and I prayed many times and asked God to help me. And he did. You know, it was like 911. It was an emergency rescue call that I got in and got help when I did. Because
so you hung on to faith.
I hung on to a whole lot of faith. I had a whole lot of faith. And today I just trust and believe. And it just helps my character to build up to know that I trust and believe no matter what.
So that's an incredible story, and thank you for your candor. What has treatment added to your life? What is treatment? How do people get to treatment?
Treatment, to me, is structure. You know, I've gotten a whole lot of structure. I've gotten a whole lot of discipline. You know, just seeing the other women and, you know, our lives conforming every day and seeing people wanting to get up and be about their recovery. You know, every day, you know, we get up and it's structure. You know, we have chores. We have job assignments. We have great classes and instructors. And, you know, it's just the structure. You know, it's causing me to get some stability in my life.
Some organization.
Yeah. And I'm so much at peace. And, you know, I think about other people before I think about myself. And just want to be of maximum service to God today and help other people. You know, we can do this. You know, we have to stick together and want to help each other.
So
and
treatment you can't do alone is
no,
what I'm hearing you
no,
say.
No, I cannot. You know, yeah. And the treatment is for the rest of my life. No matter what, I have to get up and pray and I have to call my sponsor. I have to work the 12 steps. The 12 steps are fantastic. They have helped me tremendously a lot in my
recovery. Seems like quite an order.
Yes, it's helped me a lot.
Staying clean takes a lot of work.
A lot of work. A lot of work.
Sounds like, though, in doing it in that sense of community, it's easier when you have others helping you and holding each other's hands, so to speak.
Yes, it helps a lot. It's a beautiful thing. Treatment, recovery, the whole, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, again.
So why don't people go? I mean, if you have cancer, you go get help quickly for it. What is it with alcoholism? And do you think it's different with women? Do you think it's different with black women seeking treatment?
Well, I tell you what, Lisa, I had a lot of friends, you know, that died. You know, I had a lot of friends that just did not want to get help, you know. And when you're out there and that's all you know and you've grown up and you had such rough childhood experiences and even in relationships, you know, you've had guys that have put you down and put you down for so many years that that's all you know when you're out there. And being in the black community, you know, there's liquor stores on every corner and there's young kids out there selling drugs today, Lisa. You know, it's just really sad. You got the black men that are locked up in prisons and the black women, you know, I'm sure there's a great population of black women that are being put away and put in prisons and stuff. And, you know, nobody's reaching out and trying to help. And I mean, that's what I want to do when I get back out there, is to be an attraction, you know, and not a promotion, and just maybe let them see that, you know, if this girl, if Roslyn got it together, maybe I can get it together, and just try to be an example for them. But you
do
know,
we
I just
need
think
to make treatment more available somehow, or get to these women and mothers and let them know that treatment works and that there is treatment, even if they can't afford it?
Yeah, we do. We need to get it out there and let people know. You know, I participated in a program called PAR. You know, it was like people advocating recovery.
PAR?
And, yeah, and we passed out flyers to some people in Henderson, Kentucky, and that was on last week. And, you know, I think it was a great thing to, you know, pass out these flyers, and we were talking about people that had been on meth really bad, and it had really just torn these people's lives apart. And people were talking about how they got clean, you know, they got themselves together. It may have took 22 months. I think it was an article in there with the lady that it took maybe 22 months for her to get herself clean from meth. And that is a drug I've never came in contact with, but a drug is a drug, you know, and alcohol is definitely a drug. And, you know, I think it would be great to have more treatment facilities put up and more people advocating and just letting them know that treatment works. You know, it's part of recovery, and it's a great thing to recover. You know, I was a hopeless state of mind and body whenever I got to treatment, you know, back in December. And, you know, I had the clothes on my back. I didn't have anything, any hope at all. I was just empty when I got there. And, you know, once I got in and started my treatment, I saw these other women, you know, that were getting sober and getting, you know, they were happy. They were joyous. They were free. And, you know, they just draw my attention. And I'm like, I want what they got. Yeah. You know, it just really draw my attention for me to get better. And, you know, today I feel great. You know, I've not had to pick up a drink in over 18 months.
Well,
and,
congratulations.
You know, I'm so proud of myself.
18 months.
Yes, I've not had any alcohol in my body, and I'm just so grateful.
And the first time since you were 14 that you haven't had a mood-altering chemical in your body?
Well, no, I had drank after I was 14.
Well, I mean 18 months now you've been clean.
Right,
from totally.
From starting at 14 and then this vicious cycle taking over for, what, 22 years? Yeah, this vicious cycle
of an active addiction.
I've been on and just running on a whole lot of self-will. You know, it was all about me and what I could get from you and the manipulating.
Did you know that at the time, or did you have to get dry long enough to see it?
I had to get dry long enough to see it. I had no clue about self-will running. Riot.
Does jail work?
Jail
didn't work
for me. Jail did not work for me at all. The longest time I spent in jail was maybe 10 days, and that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. I've never really been in jail a lot, and thank God for that, you know.
Did you try after you got out of jail that first time to think, I'm not going to use anything?
I tried, but it wouldn't work because the mental obsession and just being around people that were using all the time. And, you know, I always found myself back around those old people, places, and things.
Right back on the cocaine, or did you start first with booze?
Started out with maybe a beer.
So beer is a deadly chemical for a recovering addict.
Yes, it is. Very. Very. Because we set ourselves up and think that we can just drink one.
Yeah.
And one's too many and a thousand's never enough, Lisa. So there's just
incredible.
No way around it but total abstinence. You know, you have to be total abstinence if you want.
Well, what do you do if you have a bad day?
Well, if I have a bad day, I pull up on one of my sisters and I share with them and let them know what's going on with me. I don't cover up anything, and a lot of them know I don't.
Just
I don't
talk
sugarcoat.
It through.
Yeah, I get out whatever's bothering me if need.
Oh, we have a call. Yes, caller.
Hi.
You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Luanna C. And I just called to tell Robin I'm proud of her and I'm supporting her.
Thanks, Luanna, and I love you.
I love you too.
Wow.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, she said she's going to come support me.
You get a lot of support.
Yeah, I got a lot of support.
Different than your family?
Well, yeah, being in the rehab and being in the treatment setting, because, you know, my mother, she supports me. She loves me.
There's another call. Caller, you're on. Hello, welcome to Radio Rehab with Rosalyn.
Hi. I just wanted to tell this lady that I am so proud of the vital information that she's putting out there for the rest of us to be able to hear, because so many people are dealing with the same addictions, but a lot of people are afraid to admit that they have a problem. But I do want to ask her a question, actually twofold question. What is it about crack cocaine? Is it a physical addiction or is it a mental addiction? That's my first question. And then secondly, how do you encourage more people to that they don't have to do it alone, that they do need to go to treatment? How can we help our family members understand that? Thank you, and have a God bless day.
Great questions. Thank you.
That's a very great question, and I just want to thank you for calling in. The crack cocaine question that you had, it centers in the mind and the body. It is a twofold disease. And the other question you had about how can we reach other people, you know, you can call different places and get information, and you could pass it on to the family member, and you could let them know that, you know, like people like me, you've heard, you know, to say that this disease centers in the family. You know, it's a family disease. It's a family disease, and, you know, you can call and get information about it and just pass it on to them. And first and foremost, I would suggest that you would pray continuously for that person. And like I said, I can be able to be out there and set an example and clean up my community and help my community to get better and stay sober and clean myself.
And there is a professional thing called intervention. And I know WARM treatment program does interventions. Southwestern Indiana Mental Health Center here has set up an intervention. Smallberry Center has set up therapeutic, compassionate, respectful interventions. Because that's the other thing I want to ask you, Roslyn. Your parents and kids begged you to get well. What? But it took a different kind of intervention.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of intervention did it take for you?
I mean, the intervention it took for me is the fact that, you know, it got so bad. And then for me to have to lose my children, you know, I grew up in the home with my mother for years. You know, I never was removed from my mother's home, or I had to go into any foster care situation. And the intervention it took for me is that it was time. It really was time for me to do something about my situation, you know.
So it took somebody outside the family to come in and get your attention.
Yeah, such as my sister. She came in and removed my son. And even when she removed him, I wasn't ready. But this last time, she still helped out with another child that's 13 years old. And, you know, she helped me with her. And that helped me to want to get help even more.
Did you know treatment would, I mean, do people perceive treatment as something expensive?
Well, at the time, we knew that I could get. Do we have a caller? At the time, you know, I really didn't know if I was going to have to pay for treatment or not. You know, I just wanted help. No matter what, I wanted to seek help. And the treatment facility I went in was totally free. I didn't have to pay anything to be there.
Yeah, I was going to mention that the WARM program, which is area code 270-826-0036, is willing to talk to folks that are interested women in getting help or an intervention, and there is absolutely not going to be any cost if you call 270-826-0036. Tell them you heard Roslyn on Radio Rehab, and they will help you in any way they can at no charge to you. What a gift to the community. So you don't have to worry about bills piling up from your treatment. How long have you been in treatment?
Well, I've been there for 10 months. I mean, we do have a small fee to pay for housing and things like that, but I think it's a blessing that we can go in places like this, we can set up Section 8 housing, and, you know, we can get help and be able to get back out there and lead sober, you know, productive lives and be a productive member of society. I think it's just a wonderful thing.
You are going to be leaving.
Yeah, tomorrow I'll be graduating from the
WARM
Center.
Do we have another caller? Do we have a caller?
Yes, I just want to call and tell Roslyn she is doing an awesome job sharing her experience, strength, and hope, and letting others know there are people and facilities that care about you and you can live different.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
All right. Love you, Roz.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Great support coming from the community.
Yes, I appreciate you all calling in and talking to me. And you know, I just think it's a beautiful thing to be able to come in a facility. And you know, you really not know what you're headed into or what you're getting yourself into. But, you know, it's just so much hope and support and love there. You know, everybody just wants to love on people and help them, you know, so that
What are you
going
to do tomorrow when you go back to Louisville, Kentucky?
Well, I'm going to spend time with my son, and he's expecting me to come. That's the one I told you I give all my tokens to. Well, he's going to be expecting me to stay just one night, and then they're ready for me to proceed on to the Women's Healing Place in Louisville, Kentucky. I will be staying there so that I can transition back out into the community and look for a job and look for housing. And my brother tells me he already has a job for me.
Your family's waiting for you. So what do you think will be some of your biggest challenges?
Some of my biggest challenges will be...
We have another caller.
Okay.
We have another caller. Caller, are you on?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. My name is Francis, and I just wanted to call and say thank you, Roslyn, so much for what you're doing, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. I hope that everybody out there listening knows and believes that what they're hearing from this woman can be totally believed, and they need to take it to heart. And I'm so proud of you, and thank you for carrying the message, Roz.
I love you, Frances.
Love you too, Roz. Thanks.
Lots of friends. So what are you going to do when you go back to Louisville? What do we do with, how do we help as a community when people come back home out of rehab?
Well, one most thing I'm going to do is to participate in my program. You know, continue to keep doing what I have been doing and what I've learned. You know, I've learned so much, and, you know, I cannot keep this unless I give it away. So I'd like to go back and help some of the other women that are struggling, that have been in situations like mine. I'd like to go.
Do we have another caller? Do we have another caller?
Hello?
Hello?
Well, this is Tabitha, Rebecca, and Stephanie. We just want to tell you we love you, and you are an inspiration to all of us. You sound really good, and we love you so much. You inspire us so much. We're so proud of you, Roz. We love you.
Wow, how do I get that popular?
Thank you, girls. I really appreciate you all calling me, and I love you all so much.
Love you, Roz.
Oh, thank you. I love you.
Oh, we'll have to have Rosalind back. We are at the end of our half hour at Radio Rehab. Rosalind, what an inspiration. Thank you for the hope that you pass on for women that want to recover from alcoholism and addiction. Till we see you next week on Radio Rehab, or hear from you next week on Radio Rehab, hang in there till next week. Call and get help. Treatment works. And remember, do the next right thing. See you next week for Radio Rehab. Thanks, Rosalind.
You're welcome.